Welcome to the UFO Files. I'm Jerry Pippin. Hey, we have an unusual show for you today. Unusual because of a couple of things. First of all, we're doing the show from Oklahoma City in the heart of Mid-America. You know, I used to be a radio host here in Oklahoma City, actually a disc jockey at WKY and KOMA. In fact, OKC was my last stop doing music radio before I finally took the plunge to an all-talk interview format and later on a variety format that became the forerunner of this internet broadcast adventure that we now are doing on jerrypippin.com. Do you realize we are in our seventh year? We're doing this show from Garfield's Restaurant. This is a well-known upscale restaurant chain here in Oklahoma and other places. Now, this particular Garfield's is located on the south side of one of the larger malls in the country, Crossroads Mall, just off I-35 and I-240 in South Oklahoma City. We came here to do this show because of some experiencers that live here. And we'll be getting to that here in just a minute to introduce both of them. This is going to be a very interesting hour. I read an interesting statistic the other day from a 1997 Gallup poll. It revealed that 42% of college graduates in the United States believe that the Earth has been visited by extraterrestrials. 42%, that's an astonishing statistic, I'm sure you will agree, and it underscores the political importance of the UFO phenomenon. And after hearing the show today with our two guests, I think you'll understand why we talk about the politics of ufology. It's about time, I think, and I'm sure you will agree when you hear the show, that as a society, we should demand the truth from our government. I mean, after all, it's been 60 years now at least, and surely they know a little more about this subject than they are telling us. The experiencers, both of them had experiences. It's up to you to make up your mind about what their experiences really mean. Our first guest is a native of South Texas. She is very young, 24, Erica Dorisak, a native of the area down around Martha, where there have been lots of UFO sightings. In fact, she just moved to Oklahoma City recently. And her early experiences, they have caused her to consider, are you ready for this? Consider becoming a UFO researcher in her own right. And then after we talk with Erica, we will then bring on Tony DeTana. He's a middle-aged man like myself from the East Coast. He's lived in Oklahoma for some time now. And he loves it. You can tell he loves it by the way he dresses. You can see his photo on our website. Yes, he looks like Kenny Rogers and dresses like him. Tony will tell us about his encounters and the fact that he believes, and he believes this with all of his heart, that he is the father of a hybrid daughter reared by the aliens. This story is heart-wrenching. It's full of confusion, suspicion, and a never-ending quest for more information on the UFO phenomenon. In fact, that's how we met Tony. He listens to all the radio shows about UFO and paranormal activities. He can't get enough information. He's been corresponding with us for years now and been listening to our shows. I think you'll find both of these people very interesting. Both of them, you will have to agree, are brave souls. And even though the stories are emotional, it's worth listening to. That's the reason we came to Oklahoma City. That's the reason we're here at Garfield's. You know, Garfield's is a great place. You ought to try their special, delightful menu of specials. Mm-hmm. And also, they got a good drink menu, too, if you're interested in that. We'll be back with Erica, then Tony, so don't go away. But first, this word from Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine, on a newsstand near you. It's worth going and getting it and reading it. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown. Every month in Fate Magazine. Fate Magazine has actually been published continuously since 1948. That makes it the longest-running publication of its kind. From psychics and spiritualists, archaeological hotspots and fringe science, to authoritative UFO and paranormal investigations, Fate articles are factual, informative, and entertaining. Subscribe to Fate Magazine today. Simply go to FateMag.com, FateMag.com, or check it out at your local newsstand. Fate Magazine is a favorite for people looking for answers and for people looking for entertainment. Fate. Tales of the Strange and the Unknown.
It's Jerry Pippen of the UFO Files, and we're broadcasting in Garfield's at Crossroads Mall in Oklahoma City, and we have with us... we've talked about her on the air, and we actually are going to meet her here, Erica
Dworzik.
You haven't been in Oklahoma very long.
No, I haven't.
So what do you think of it?
I like it. It's nice compared to where I'm from.
Well, now, you've already started making friends with the UFO community here.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about what's happening around Oklahoma City. You found a couple of meetings I didn't even know about.
Yes, the MUFON meeting actually is in, I think it's next week on the 25th or something on Sunday, at any rate. And I found out about that through I don't remember the lady that was the director, but I contacted her, and then she put me in touch with Charles Pine, which is the director now, and it goes from there. So.
And you also told me about some meeting in some little town near here, and I don't remember what the name of that town was.
I think Elk City it might have been. I don't recall.
Okay, it was some time back when we talked about it. Anyway, yeah. I don't remember either. But you told me that you're very interested in becoming a researcher yourself.
Yes, I am very interested.
Well, you're only 24. You got a brilliant future ahead of you here.
Yes, and that's what I want to do. Unfortunately, there's not much of a career in that, but I just want to do it.
I don't know. Some people have done pretty good with it, so, you know, and if you make it over to the Ozark Festival, the Ozark UFO Festival and Conference in Eureka Springs, we'll introduce you to some of the people, some of the women who have done quite well.
Yes, Linda Moulton Howell, she's a great woman.
And she'll be there, and I'll introduce you to her. Great, great researcher. Why are you interested in UFOs? We talked about it on the air with Larry Dickin, and let's kind of refresh our audience a little bit about this. It all happened down in Texas, huh?
Yes, it did. In my hometown, the first incident was actually in my mother's backyard. My cousin and I were just sitting outside. There was apparently a meteor shower or something, and we were out there kind of late. It was about midnight, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw these two stars, and they were so far away, you know, the type of star that you see, like, in a constellation. It didn't shine. It wasn't colored. It was just a dot, and they were chasing each other, I call it, just doing maneuvers that nothing that we have on Earth, I know, can do that, and, again, it was so far away that it was many, 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 many light years away, so I know that it wasn't close at all. And I couldn't...
Well, it might not have been that far, but it was not close.
Right. It was very... Yeah, it was so far away. So that started it all for me. And I couldn't explain that away at all. I mean, there was no... It couldn't have been a plane or, you know, a star or anything, because it was moving, obviously. So that started it all for me.
Now, you found out later that there's been a history in your family of perhaps UFO sightings and maybe more.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about this.
Well, in Damon, there is...
Now, that's Damon, Texas we're talking about. And what's the nearest big city?
Would be Houston, probably about 35, 40 minutes from Damon.
Toward Beaumont or the other way?
Let's see. I guess
it's right?
Beaumont. Yeah. I guess it would be.
Okay, it's probably, I guess that would be south and west of Houston.
Yes, actually. And there was a man called named Bob Goode, and it was a famous case that happened with him.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about that case before we get into anything.
Well, it occurred in September of 1965. A man named Bob Goode, in which my family personally knows him and his family. He's dead now, but he was a deputy, and he was driving in his...
A deputy sheriff?
Yes. He was driving in his patrol car going towards West Columbia, which is 10 minutes south of Damon on 36, and he and his partner, I believe, was with him. Don't hold me to that, but they were driving at any rate in the car and saw this thing, and they chased it, and it had landed, and he had gotten bitten by an alligator, I don't know, previously, few hours or so before that day, and had his hand.
Hold on a minute. There's alligators down there, right?
Yes. Yeah. By a lake or something that's out there. Eagle Nest Lake, I believe, is where he was at or something.
So he literally had an injured hand due to a bite from an alligator.
Yes, he did.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know. And it was wrapped in everything. And he had gotten out and looked at this craft that had landed there.
It literally landed in front of him.
It literally landed in front of him, and it gave off heat, he said, was what he had told my grandfather, and my uncle had heard this conversation as well. Anyway, after it all happened, it took off, it left, and then they followed it, and then it disappeared. They had went back to a cafe or something that was in West Columbia, and there was a football game going on that night. And so after the game, they had went to the cafe, and he had unwrapped his hand, and it had healed his hand. And I spoke to my grandmother about that, too, and she had verified that that indeed did happen. His hand was healed.
So he did have some sort of experience with it, or maybe the contact with the being close radiation or something. Anyway, something healed. Did he ever remember seeing any entities or anything?
Now, I don't know about that. As to my knowledge, with what my uncle told me and my grandmother, they did not say, and I guess, I don't know if he said or not, but they didn't say that, so I can't say.
About how long ago was this? Is when you were, 30, 40 years ago?
Yeah, it was in 1965.
Before you were born?
Yes, sir, yeah. So,
you can tell you're getting old when they call you, yes, sir.
No.
Anyway, Erica, that's an experience that was handed down through your family. I wonder if other people in your family were impacted by UFOs.
Yes, apparently the town was. There are several people that have since passed on that had sightings and things like that. But people just didn't really talk about it. They knew who they could talk to and who they couldn't talk to, of course, because Damon is such a very small town. So they would share it with who they could trust, and then the people, they just didn't talk about it, including my grandfather. So
your grandfather really never talked about it much at all?
No. To the person that was witnessing it with him, as well as my grandmother, my uncles, and my mom. Other than that, he really didn't talk about it with anybody.
Now your mother, at first, you had no idea, if I remember correctly, that she had had any experiences at all. But that came out later, is that right?
Yes, at the time when it was in 1993. In that time, I had no idea. I would just tell them what happened to me, and they would just, oh, yeah, whatever, or, you must have been seeing things. And then I later find out what my grandfather saw and my grandmother, and that my mom was involved, meaning that she was little. They would make her get in the car and go look for the crafts with them, and so on and so forth. So
now they would actually go out and look. Is this sighting that you had when you were young, is that the only one you've had?
No. I actually had one last November in Terlingua, Texas, which is...
Now where in Texas?
Terlingua. It is about 80 miles south of Alpine, Texas, which is about 10 or 15 miles from Marfa.
Yeah, Marfa, of course, is the famous place where all of the incidents have happened. It's pretty famous. Tell me about this thing in Alpine. All right, where was it? Terlingua?
Terlingua, yeah, okay, in the mountains. Okay. Yeah, it was in a remote in the mountains.
Okay, so there's a mountain range there?
Several, yes. And my brother-in-law, I was in the middle in the back seat of a truck, and my husband was on my left and my brother-in-law on my right. And
your brother, I mean your husband, let's get to your husband first of all. Is he a Texan with that name?
Yes, yes he is.
How about that?
But his grandparents are from Poland and Czechoslovakia.
Okay.
So.
And how about your brother? How old is he?
He's 40.
He was considerably older.
Yes, yes. And he's a skeptic. Like, he has to see something to believe it. I mean, he believes me, but it just doesn't impact him the same way as if he actually sees it with his own eyes.
Okay, well, let's get back to the story. You're in the back of the truck.
Yeah, well, we're in the back seat. It was a Ford truck, and he was looking out to his right out the window, and we're always looking in the sky for stuff because, you know, he and I argue about things, and I tell him I saw this, and, you know, he wants to see it. So anyway, we see this, or he sees this, it's like a big star. I say that about the size of, I don't know, the North Star. I know that there's no such thing as a North Star, but it's about that size of something really big, and it was moving, he said. And then he said that it stopped, and three individual littler stars come out of it. And he yelled, oh, my God, look. And just as he yelled that, I looked to my right, and I leaned all the way over to where I was, like, in his lap, looking out the window. And I see, just as these things are coming out from the bottom of this thing, and they come down, they come out, and they fan out, and then they all just stop. And then they just sit there. And they stayed that way for the whole entire time that we watched them, which was more than 30 minutes. And even out of sight, they remained there. And we wouldn't have noticed it unless he had caught them moving. And that's what he caught. So he saw them actually move out of, I call it the mothership, because, I mean, what else could it be? Because it was moving at one point, and it stopped, and then the three came out of it. And they got into formation and then stayed there.
So now when we talk about, you know, these things go in family history a lot of times. No one really can remember anything like a contact.
Right.
But you do have several sightings in your history.
Yes, yes. I do, two personally, in which that I cannot explain away, or there are no other options of what it could be at all, period.
You know, when... We talk to people like you, especially people interested in ufology and maybe want to get a career of ufology going. I'm always curious about some of the things and experiences you've had already. You've been to some meetings, right?
No.
Not yet.
Professional,
huh?
No.
You haven't been to a meeting yet, but you're going to move on pretty soon.
Yes, I am going to make that one. Next week.
And I'm sure you'll get right into it. How does your husband and your family feel about your interest here?
My husband supports me 100%. He believes me and just the background that he has with his dad. Now, his dad has had things happen to his parents, which would be my husband's grandparents, and then my husband's dad through the years where he grew up in Georgetown near Corpus Christi. And his grandparents, too, so my husband's great-grandparents. But I really bring it out in my
wait father. A minute. Maybe there's more to this arrangement of your meeting than meets the eye.
Yes. Yeah. Well, basically, we're very involved.
Did you grow up together?
No, we did not.
Okay.
No, we did not. Okay. Which is odd because my father-in-law and I get along very well because we're always discussing it. And I've stayed up many a night till 3 in the morning.
So I bet he has some pretty interesting stories. What does he say?
Oh, you wouldn't believe it. I know one incident in which he was about 9 or 10. He was going to check in the river, the trot lines that he had set.
This is down in Texas.
This is down in Texas near Corpus Christi, Georgetown, actually. And he lived on a farm, and he went out to check the lines. And he said that it was in the woods, but, of course, there's trails. It wasn't heavy brush. It was just a bunch of trees. He sees this silver craft, like a classic saucer shape, and it had three legs. And he saw it out there, and he walked up, I don't know, maybe about 150 feet from it, and it rose up in the air and hovered for a little while, and he's watching this, and then it just took off, and he said that was the first experience that he had ever had, so that interested me right off the bat, and then there's other things that have happened to him that he cannot explain, so it was very interesting.
And did he see any creatures come out of it? Or anything?
He's never seen an entity or creature or gray or UFO, alien or anything like that. But, I mean, he literally, at 10 years old, he was scared to death, but he saw it, and it was sitting there and was just a saucer. And he doesn't know. I mean, he can't believe what he saw.
Well, now, what, as a budding ufologist, what do you hope to do? You hope to find a saucer and talk to the... I mean, what interests you, really? Abductions or just the sightings themselves or what? Or are you interested in all of it?
I'm interested in all of it. I'm actually interested in cryptozoology as well, but mostly UFOs because of the things that have happened to me, as well as my family, and then my extended family. And just from the first, I would see the shows and things and didn't know what to think of it. But once that happened to me, and then I found out what happened to my family, I can't believe it. And I want to prove that what's being withheld from the public, and I would want to prove that I did see something and it can't be explained.
So you did talk to your family before we did this interview. They're still reluctant, I think, probably, to talk about some of these things.
Oh, my mom, she's always been a little reluctant. I don't know. I think it might be she doesn't want to. I think that it scared her, and she doesn't really like to talk about it as much. But my uncle and my grandmother are more than willing. I mean, they were happy to talk to me. They didn't have any regrets or they weren't very standoffish at all. They just poured it out to me, so... they were okay.
This is Jerry Pippin. We're broadcasting from Garfields in Oklahoma City and at the Crossroads Mall. And we will be wrapping up this in a moment, and we're going to talk to Tony DeTata next, who's had an experience or two. But before we do that, I want to give you a chance to maybe to bring out something I haven't asked you about. Have I covered it pretty much? Or not?
You have. I spoke to my uncle last night, as a matter of fact, and there is a couple points I just want to quickly bring up. I grew up about maybe a mile from a rock quarry where they mine sulfur and things like that. And my grandfather was a security guard at a sulfur barn where this happened to him, this close encounter with this craft. And my uncle said to me last night, I said, don't you find it odd that people talking about abduction cases, some of them will note that they've smelled a strong odor of sulfur or something of that nature. Well, my uncle told me that during the course of 1965 to 1967, actually at the end of 65 in September is when this Bob Good thing happened, and then the first part of 66, that during the time that the sulfur plant was up and running, these alien craft and things were there. They were visiting, and people were having sightings. When operations ceased of the sulfur plants, they did not come. There were no sightings, there were no ships, there were no craft, there were no nothing. And when he told me that, it kind of sent a chill down my spine because I thought, well, wow, we live right by a sulfur barn. And I went on to an Earth Search program where you can get a satellite view, and I brought up my parents' address, which their house is here, and check that out. That's the sulfur mine.
Describe that to the audience.
Okay. About a mile from my parents' property is a sulfur barn. You can take back trails because the main road's over here, and here's one of the main roads off the highway. But here's the back roads in the country. And there's the sulfur barn, and there's a pit where they mine the sulfur and stuff. And that's in a circular shape. And then directly above the circular shape of the pit are two square lakes that look like eyes. And
it looks like a face.
It looks like a face, like an alien's face. And my husband actually found this a couple weeks ago just searching the property, and he about died. And he called me in there, and I almost fainted. And so it's an aerial view, and I brought it in to show you, Jerry, just so that maybe you could kind of see. That's a sulfur mine.
Well, great. And you got this off the Internet.
Yeah, Google Earth Search.
And we have that picture also right here by this interview so people can see what we're talking about. Erica, maybe we'll see you later on since you're going to be a ufologist for your life.
Yes, I would love that.
So excited. So I'm sure we'll run across again.
I'm sure we will.
Each other. We'll be back with more in a moment. This is Jerry Pippin. We're broadcasting from Garfields in Oklahoma City. We're all familiar with the famous Bose name when it comes to great sound.
And now, Bose has made it possible to enjoy your iPod music and programs in the fullest possible fidelity. Just slip in the iPod into the docking cradle, and instantly you will have the famous Bose sound system playing your downloaded digital audio. By the way, the iPod charges as it plays on the Bose machines, so you always have the programming without interruption. Bose gives your programs from the internet vitality and realism, a full, rich sound. The Bose sound dock requires no adapters or wires. All you do is use one of the specifically designed iPod models. We have a banner on this page where you can click and go over and read about the Bose sound dock machine and the iPod. In fact, you can order it right here, right now, or in the future at your convenience. Bose and iPod, a marriage made in audio heaven.
Welcome to the UFO Files Show.
We're at Garfield's in Oklahoma City at Crossroads Mall. At one time, this was the largest mall in the world, but it's been replaced by a couple others since then. But, Tony, I believe you're from Brooklyn, right?
I was born and raised in Brooklyn, New York, yes.
Yeah, but you certainly look Oklahoma City today.
I like the Western look.
Yeah. And you've been listening to us for a long time, and we appreciate it.
It's been a pleasure. I enjoy your show and listen all the time.
And the reason I ask you to come by is because you've had some experiences and you're just really not sure what they all mean, right?
Yes, I guess that's putting it in a nutshell.
Uh-huh. Let's talk a little bit about some of them if you feel up to it. What's the first thing that comes to mind when we talk about the... You feel you've had contact or abducted, or what word would you like to use?
I would
maybe an experiencer.
Somewhere in there.
Just take my pick, huh?
Contact. I've been with them, so for me, I have no question as to whether or not there are aliens visiting the Earth. I know.
Did these contacts happen here in Oklahoma, or in Brooklyn, or where?
Not in Oklahoma that I'm aware of. They happened in a town called Brentwood, Long Island, New York.
So it was, I know from you and I corresponded over the, you know, as a listener to the show, that you came to Oklahoma, you went back, then you came back. So,
exactly.
How old were you when you had these experiences?
The first one that I really have any memory of was on a golf course in Brentwood, New York.
Okay, that's interesting already. And you didn't make a hole in one.
No.
Well, who said these ETs were good?
And this, as far as I know, is the only...
tell me about it. I'm serious.
The waking memory of something. It was... me and a bunch of people used to hang around in this park up in Brentwood. And every night we'd meet up there. There could be anywhere from 10 people to sometimes 50. And it was just a good place to be. People would be hanging around drinking beer and singing. There would be people singing together and just generally passing time. And this one particular night, nobody had any money for beer. So about eight of us decided we would go over to the golf course in Brentwood and just sit on the golf course and talk. And we were sitting there a couple hours or so, something like that, and it got pretty boring. So one of the guys lived about a half a block away from where we were on the golf course, and they decided, let's all go over to my place. We'd go down in the basement and watch TV and, waste the night. So me and another guy, his name was John, we didn't feel like going, so we left them, they left us, and we went over to a park bench that was at the edge of one of the greens. If you were sitting on this park bench, you would be facing the road, which was about 6 feet away. So the entire golf course at that point in time was There was no fences. It was completely and totally open. Anybody could walk on it at any time. And we were sitting on this park bench, and there was a green directly behind us, which would have been at about eye level if you were sitting. And we were just sitting there, and we heard this sound like a dog's choker collar or a set of keys jingling. And
kind of like maybe a dog with some tags on it.
Exactly. And didn't think much of that. And we turned to look at, and there was a light in some trees. And we didn't think too much of that. And this probably could have been just some guy walking his dog. But a few minutes after that, we turned around and looked, and standing on the green was a being about 3.5-4 feet tall, dressed in silver like the dull side of aluminum foil. And I'm pretty sure he was facing us, but I don't remember any facial features. He was probably about 20-30 feet from us.
And it was dark?
Yes, this was probably about 11 p.m.
Were there lights around where you could see things, or was it just dark out there?
It was fairly dark. There were street lights, but they didn't illuminate too much. And we both turned around and looked at this thing, and then we stood up and faced it. And then I turned and I looked at John, and he looked at me, and we looked back at this thing. And it turned away from us. That's why I'm pretty sure it was facing us. It had two arms, two legs, a head, a large pear-shaped head, what today we call the gray, is a typical gray. And it went off away from us down the middle of the golf course. It was moving fast enough that it should have been running.
It didn't look like it. But it kind of just floated there?
Its legs weren't moving, but it was moving fast enough that it should have been running. And like I said, the legs weren't moving. It was like either it was on wheels or like the golf course was covered with ice and it was just sliding along the ice. And it went away from us probably about a quarter of a mile to where there was a large grouping of fairly large pine trees, probably about 50-foot tall pine trees, and it went behind the pine trees, and after about, I'm going to say, maybe 20 or 30 seconds, it came out from behind the trees, and then another one came out from the other side.
And the other one looked like that one?
They looked exactly the same, and they seemed to face each other, and then they turned side to side and glid off, gliding.
Just kind of slid off or floated off.
Right. Away from us towards what seemed to be a glow in the distance. And I'm not sure what that glow was or anything, but me and John decided, hey, let's go get the guys. And we figured they left about 5-10 minutes ago, maybe 15. So we ran the half a block to the guy's house and looked in the basement window. The TV was on and there was 6-8 guys on the floor asleep.
So you spent more than 10 or 15 minutes there?
Apparently. I don't know. I don't remember missing any time, but...
Now, later on, you had some regression therapy, didn't you?
Yes, I've had about three or four time regression hypnosis sessions, yes.
And what have you found from that?
Well, this experience on the golf course is all total recall. It was all
you remember that?
Yes, totally. And I think one of the big things about this golf course incident was my girlfriend. She had a certain last name, and she had a best friend who had the same last name, and they weren't related, and they lived this other girl, her house was on the, how to explain it, the end of their property ended with a chain link fence, and on the other side of the chain link fence is the golf course. And she was telling us one day that about 3 years ago, which would have been about the same time as this happened to me on the golf course, she said that her brother looked out on the out of his bedroom window, and sitting on the golf course was a disc, brightly lit underneath, with 11 little men walking around picking things up.
11. Yeah, and it was about the same time frame as what happened to you.
Yes.
Do you think you've been harmed? Do you have any marks or anything on your body? Or what did you find out in therapy?
I found no marks. I did, at one time, I don't know if it's still there, but my second wife used to cut my hair. And she was cutting my hair.
So did mine.
And one day she says, "What the hell is this?" And I said, "What? What is it?" And she says, "Well, you have a pink spot on the top of your head, like a scar. It's about the size of a dime." I said, I don't know. I don't know what it is. Did you bump your head or something?" "No, I don't know." So I looked at it too, and sure enough, there was a big bald spot about the size of a dime, and it was pink like a fresh scar. That's the only...
The only mark that you have.
That I know of, yeah.
Did you recall anything in regression about other entities, or were they always the same thing, or is this the only time you can remember anything about an entity?
The first memory was I was about 14 or 15 years old, and I don't know how I was taken, but I was aboard a ship, and I was sitting on a table, like sort of like a gurney, I would say, and standing right next to me with his right hand on my left thigh is a gray. And he is,
can you remember the touch, the feel?
I yes, but to tell you what it felt like, no, I can't remember. I do remember him.
You knew he was touching.
Yes. And his face was probably about as far from me as yours is from me.
A couple of feet, at the most.
At the most. And I know him.
What do you mean by that?
There's just a distinct feeling that I know this entity.
This was not your first meeting?
I don't think so. But if there is, I don't have recall of it. But one of the biggest things that comes is I'm looking in his face, and his left eye twitches. There's a twitch above his left eye, and that's when I realized that this is a live, living being.
In other words, he looked almost like a mannequin or something until you noticed his eye move.
No, I did feel that it was a live creature, but that just...
They convinced you.
Organized it, yeah. And this room was, I don't know how to explain, brightly lit, but pale. Everything was very bright, but it wouldn't hurt your eyes. No.
Were there other entities in there?
Yes, there were two others, but I only see them peripherally. I don't think I ever looked at them, and they are different. I know they're different. They're smaller, and I believe they're white. White-skinned. This one that I feel I know is a gray. His skin is...
And he was, what, 4 or 5 feet tall?
I would say between 3.5 and 4.5 feet. Probably about 4 feet.
Was there any communication that you can remember?
That I don't. I want to know. I'm sure we must have been communicating, but I don't remember any communication. Not telepathic, not verbal, but this feeling that I knew him, and the light in this room, and the other times, there is no way to tell where the light comes from. There is no light source anywhere. There's no bulbs, there's no fixtures, there's no piece of plastic that a light bulb could be behind. There's a cabinet on the wall, and it's enclosed.
So you don't know what's in the cabinet?
Yes, it's clear.
It's transparent.
Yes, it's a transparent, but I can't tell you what it's made out of, whether it's glass, and there's no frame to it, there's no door hinges, or...
Could you see anything in there?
Yeah, but I couldn't tell you at this point what was in there.
Just boxes or containers or something?
I'm not sure.
I know this is very traumatic, and I understand that, so we won't press you a whole lot, but I really... these things have been happening to you, and then all of a sudden, evidently, they stopped.
I'm not sure of that. If they've stopped, I don't know it. If they continue, I don't know it.
So probably that's also very telling on you because you don't know.
It's hard to put into words. I really. Don't know how to put into words how I feel.
Yeah, I started to say, I don't really sense fear completely, but at the same time, concern.
I would say that there, I can't say that I'm totally comfortable, but I can't say that I'm afraid. I can't sleep in the dark. I can't stay in the complete dark. I have to have some kind of light on.
I know from your emails you keep late hours. Is that the reason?
It may be. It started before I started listening to Art Bell. I was always a night owl. I would always find something to watch or whatever.
What do you think you mentioned Art Bell? You listen to all of our talk shows. You can't get enough of this subject, evidently.
No, I really can't. I want to know what's inside me. I think there's more inside, and I want to be able to get to it. I can't unless.
I know you visited with Bud Hopkins once, just kind of casually. Your regression therapist, did you go to the same person all three times?
Yes, I did.
And do you feel comfortable with what they said?
Yes.
Because you have confidence in that person?
Yes.
Would you do it again?
Definitely.
In fact, I sense that you'd probably like to.
I do want to. I don't know. I guess curiosity is the driving force. I feel like I know more, and I want to know what it is that I know.
Have you come up with some definite idea from listening to all of these shows? You know, we talk about it on the air all the time. Is it a feel-good deal, or are they evil, or is it a mixture? I take it you really don't have an answer.
I can't say definitely, except from all...
What do you feel in the pit of your stomach?
All I can say is that I don't feel I've ever been harmed. I don't feel harm from them. I would not mind them showing up. The only thing I can say is just don't sneak up on me.
Don't come in the night.
Come in the night, sure. Yeah, come in the night.
The reason I say you like to have a light on.
Yeah, but that's why I have a light on. I don't want anything sneaking up on me. I don't want to turn around in the dark and bump into something.
Have you had paranormal experiences as well as what we would call extraterrestrial experiences?
Besides extraterrestrial, poltergeist activity.
Like what?
Bumping into something that's not there.
When you're driving down the street, you feel somebody in the back seat and they're not there?
No, I've never had that. I don't know what the hell I'd do if that happened.
Well, looking in your rearview mirror and it's a gray, that would be pretty bad.
That I don't know.
Actually be pleasant, really. It might actually unleash some feeling. Right.
If it's this one.
This
then,
one you know.
Yeah, because there's... The main thing I could... I know him. I know him, and I know he knows me.
And when you say that, is he a friend?
I don't feel any fear. In looking at his face, being that close to him, I don't feel any fear. And what I don't even know if it's a him or a her, but I think it's a him. And another thing that gets me about seeing the inside of these craft is trying to explain what the inside of one of these things looks like is that I don't think you can explain it because it's alien. Trying to put something that we don't understand into words is impossible. Like, you look around, when looking around this room, there is no sign of construction. There is no moldings. There's no nail holes. There's no screw holes. There's no sign of plaster work. There's no moldings. Nothing has a 90-degree angle. Everything is curved. The doorways, the tables, the edges of the cabinet, everything is curved. How do you?
It's kind of like you're looking through a camera with one of those weird lenses, you know.
Through a fisheye lens?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, except it's not blown out of proportion. Everything is in proportion.
You do not have a clue where they're from, or do you?
If I do, it's inside. It's another thing I know something, and I can't explain why I feel that.
We're talking with Tony DeTata here. We only have a couple of more minutes. Tony, we'll have to visit again more about this. And I know we'll stay in touch and you'll keep me informed. But there's something about Oklahoma besides hospitality keeps bringing you back. Do you think there's an ET connection here? So far, evidently not.
Oh, there's things happened here, yeah.
Oh, really? Like what?
Sightings of things in the sky. There was a red orb that appeared around my mother's house in Tuttle. And my mother saw it, my brother saw it, I saw it. I have no explanation for what this could have been. It was about the size, a little bit smaller than a volleyball, but bigger than a softball. And it came by my house, which was about 1,500 yards from my mother's house. It went down towards my mother's house, went up to her front door, went back and forth in front of her house, went down the steps, went around her car, went around the side to where my brother's house was, went around his car, and then came back in front of my mother's house, and it was gone. And it was bright enough that it lit up. It lit up the ground. My brother's car was white. It was pink. So the light was bright. What that could have been, I have no idea.
You mentioned your family. Have they shared experiences with you? Have they had experiences?
My younger brother kind of thinks so, but he's not sure. My next youngest brother, he's just not sure.
Tony? Keep us informed on what's happening, and we hope we hear from you, and we hope you find out exactly what is happening to you. I know you do too.
Oh, definitely. I am. It's so deep that I want to know. I just want an answer. I want to know what they did to me. I want to know what if anything they told me. I don't know if I've told you. I don't tell many people, but I have a daughter with them.
You're certain of that?
Yes.
How do you know that?
I can't tell you that, except that I know I've seen her.
When she was an infant or recently?
I believe she was probably about what we would compare to about a 3-5 year old.
Was she completely human?
No. No, she was...
What do you mean by that? No. What, tell me.
Not human. She was a hybrid. I can't remember details. I have to say I'm confused with things I've seen about hybrids, so I'm not going to venture a guess as to exactly what she looked like, except
she was old enough to talk.
Yes. Yes, she was. And I think I've seen her since then. I know she had blue eyes, and she had light-colored hair. And she was probably about 4 feet tall.
How did she refer to you? Did she call you Daddy?
I don't remember any verbalizations. But I feel her. I feel her all the time.
Tony, we'll be following up on that. Thank you very much for being candid with us.
You're very welcome. I appreciate the time. I just wish that if I could add to what I think someone else just said, I would hope that somehow, some way, real soon, this comes out and the crap stops. There's enough people around. I don't feel like an idiot talking about this because I'm not an idiot. I know what happened. I know what I felt. I know what I saw. And it's time for the cover-up to stop.
Can't think of a better way to end the show. Thanks very much, Tony DeTata. Roberta Scott was our on-location producer. This is Jerry Pippen. We're broadcasting from Garfield's in Oklahoma City at Crossroads Mall. Until next time, cheers.
I'm learning that this is happening worldwide. What's going on here? What is this?
In March of 1997, a huge triangular ship appeared over Phoenix. Thousands saw it, and even now, years later, Phoenix is a place of UFO intrigue, sightings, experiences.
Eyewitnesses who saw it say it's like nothing they've ever seen before.
Hear about it on The Jerry Pippen Show.